Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Koinonia Church Message Library. Our hope is that today's message encourages you, challenges you, and brings you closer to Jesus. We are confident that God's Word is living and active and is relevant for us today. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Well, I'm looking forward to sharing this word with you today. As Pastor Brian and Rebecca were sharing, hopefully you all know by now, but Slate Church and Koinonia Church are coming together to form one new church called Base Church, and that's happening. The launch of that is happening on the 28th of January, and God has some amazing things ahead for us. What God has been doing here at Koinonia for almost 40 years is part of the foundation of what he's going to do for the next 40 years. And we're looking forward to seeing what he does. If you were here at the volunteer appreciation party in mid-December, anybody raise your hand if you were able to be here? Cool. Then you would have heard Pastor Brandon share the mission statement of Base Church. What it is we believe God is calling us to focus on and to embody as a new church. And that mission statement is this: we exist to worship God, equip the saints, equip believers, and reach Ontario, starting with Kitchener-Waterloo region and beyond. Can you say that with me? Base Church exists to worship God, equip the saints, and reach Ontario. Over the next 2 weeks, today and next week, we're going to be unpacking some of the reasons behind this and what it means for us as we move forward. And today I have the privilege of sharing with you about the topic of worship. We exist to worship God. We've been singing some great songs this morning, and maybe that's what you think of when you think of worship, right? Because we have the worship part of the service, which is where we sing, and then we have the preaching part of the service. But worship includes singing, and we've been singing some fantastic songs this morning, filled with great meaning. But worship is way more than singing. We're going to talk about that this morning. One of the passages that sums up our purpose as the church of worshiping God is found in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 to 10. And I'm going to read that for you. I think it'll be up on the screen for you, but you can look at it on your phone or whatever, a Bible you've got with you. This is what it says. But you, now I need to tell you that word you is not an individual you. That's a y'all, okay? Yeah, that's a you all. It's important to know that because often we make stuff about us as individuals, right? That tends to be, is it just me? Oh, the rest of you don't have a problem with that. I'm sorry I mentioned it. But you all are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Why? That you all, may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Isn't that a powerful passage? Two verses packed with some amazing truths. So in this passage, we're declaring some things, it says. We're announcing God's praises, and it's based on what God has done for us. Yes, as individuals, but in this passage, it's what God has done for us collectively, as a church, as the church, and as a local church. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That would be a good place to go, woohoo, too. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you glad that you're no longer in the darkness, but you're in God's marvelous light? Isn't that amazing? He's shown us mercy. He's delivered us from the penalty and the power of sin. Amazing. These are the things we're declaring and proclaiming. And God has made us part of his people, of his family. And we exist, Base Church exists to worship God, to exalt and glorify him, to proclaim his praises so others can experience that. So that they can experience God calling them out of darkness into his marvelous light, freeing them from the penalty and power of sin and making them part of his family. That's what we get to proclaim and be a part of. Amazing. Here's the thing, though. If we're going to do that collectively, which is what God wants us to do as a new church as we launch on January 28th, we need to understand the implications of this for us personally. Because if we're going to do it collectively, we have to first be doing it personally, right? There's nothing magical that happens that takes a bunch of individuals that aren't proclaiming the praises of God when they get together to becoming a group of people that are. It begins with us personally. I remember when God showed me many years ago, you know, we pray for revival, and that's not a bad thing to pray for. But corporate revival begins with a whole bunch of personal revivals. That's what it begins with. So here's the first point. What is true worship? True worship is putting God first. That's what it is. That's true worship. We worship God. We put him first, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because of who he is and what he has done for us. There are many scriptures we could turn to, but one of the passages that I think just sums this up in a powerful way is in Colossians 1, 15 through 20. I'm going to read this for you. It specifically focuses on who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Listen to this. And as I read it to you, what I want you to listen for is all the reasons you have to worship him for who he is and what he's done for you. The Son, that's Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him, that's through Jesus, and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Did you know that the reason why you can sit here this morning, the reason why this building can hold together is because Jesus Christ holds it together? The power of his word. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. So that in everything, say everything, he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, in Jesus Christ. And through him, to reconcile to himself all things, say all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Did you see some things in there that you can worship Jesus and God for? Wow. You and I individually and together were created through Jesus and for Jesus. And because Jesus, Philippians 2 tells us, because Jesus was willing to do what it says here, to make peace through his blood shed on the cross, because he was willing to obey his Father's will and go to the cross and lay down his life so that we could be forgiven of our sin, God has raised him from the dead and raised him all the way up to the highest place, given him the name that is above every name, and has made him supreme over everything. Over all things, he's given him first place That's what worship means. Worship means that I acknowledge that Jesus Christ, that God Himself, is first in all things. That's why we talk about giving on a Sunday morning, because giving is one way we demonstrate that God is first. There's so many ways in which we can demonstrate that God is first, that He is supreme. Worship is about what we give first place in our lives and prize above everything else. What have you given first place to? What do you prize above everything else? What is most important to you? See, because worship is about what we actually put first, not what we say we put first. There is a difference sometimes. Because we can claim that God is first, but is He really? Have we given Him first place in our lives? Or really, when we look at it, is it ourselves that's first? Is it a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a spouse? Is it our career? Is it money, our bank account? What is it? What's first? You know, these things in themselves are not necessarily bad, you know. For all of us who are married, your spouse, it's not bad to care about and love your spouse. Yeah. It's not bad even to manage and steward our money well and try to make more of it for the right reasons. The issue is whether we put that first. It's all about what's first. There are many things that God calls us to do in life. A boyfriend, a girlfriend, it's not bad. The problem is if they're first. Social media, it's not inherently evil, despite what some may think. What matters is it first? Is entertainment first? Are vacations first? Or is God first? Because worship is about what's first. Secondly, worship comes from the heart. Worship is about what's going on in our hearts. It's about what's going in the core of who we are, the place of our deepest desires and intentions. That's where worship comes from. The lyrics of the song we were singing, right? Coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about You. It's about what's going on in our hearts. Jesus one day was talking to the religious leaders in Matthew 15. You may remember reading this if you've read this before, Matthew 15. And He tells these religious leaders, like they're like the pastors of their day. He says to them, "You come near to Me with your lips. You honor Me with your lips, with your words, but your hearts are far from Me." They knew all the right things to do. You know, and sometimes we become professionals, right, at Christianity, and we know what everybody expects on a Sunday morning. If we've been a Christian for a while, you come into the building, you come into the auditorium, you find your seat, and the music begins, and the hands go up, if you're really spiritual, right? And we begin to sing these songs. But sometimes, let's be honest, it's just karaoke, right? Because it's not coming from our hearts. I know I'm the only person who's ever done this, but you know, it is possible. Maybe I've done it before, where I've sung that I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about God. But I'm thinking about the dinner I'm going to eat, you know, when I get home, or the soccer game I'm going to watch. You know, just me, right? But isn't it possible to do that theoretically? Couldn't you see yourself maybe doing that? See, if that's what we're doing, it's not worship, because it's not coming from our hearts. Because true worship comes from the core of who we are, comes from our hearts. And this is why when Jesus was asked by one of the religious leaders of the day, what is the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart And with all your soul and with all your mind, this is the first, the foremost, the most important, the greatest commandment, because God is interested in what is going on in our hearts. He wants our hearts. Worship gets expressed with our lips, yes, absolutely. But it also gets expressed through our attitude, through our words and actions. That's where worship is revealed. What we truly have put first is revealed in our attitudes and our actions. How we talk, the choices we make, the priorities we set, how we use our time, how we spend our money. This is why Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, right? Because worship comes from our hearts. What we treasure is what we give our lives towards. So worship can be expressed through bowing down. It can be expressed through raising our hands, through singing. And those are all biblical, scriptural, good things for us to do as we worship. But that's not all that worship is. Worship is putting God first, and it comes from our hearts. Thirdly, worship is a response to God's love and mercy. You know, worship is not something we have to do. It's not part of being a Christian. I have to worship. That's not true worship. Worship is a response of love from us towards God because of his love and his mercy shown towards us. That's what worship is. Pastor Steve Fleming, Koinonia's founding pastor, made this statement that has stuck with me for many years. Worship is love responding to love. It's my love for God responding to his love for me. That's what worship is. It's not primarily a duty. It's a response of love towards God. In Romans 12, after spending about 11 chapters writing about God's grace and his merciful response to human sin, Paul writes these words. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and to approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, Paul is saying here that true worship is a response to God's mercy. And what is that response? It's to give our entire lives to him, to offer our bodies, to offer our minds, to offer our souls to him in worship, to give everything we are to him, to put him first because of what he's done for us. That's true and proper worship. That's what Paul urges us to do. It's about glorifying God with everything we are, our entire lives. He writes this in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you eat or drink, I'll throw in a few other things we could do. Work, study, play, scroll. Or whatever you do, see, it included all those things. Do it all for the glory of God. That's true and proper worship, giving our lives to God, living for his glory, not my glory. You know, before we come to Christ, I think most of us would have probably been living for our glory. In other words, for what we thought was best for us, for our reputation, for our future, for our agenda, all of these things. But when we come to Christ, when we have an encounter with his mercy, when we have an encounter with his salvation, what happens is we respond with love to him and we put him first. And from that moment on, our goal becomes to live for his glory, to live for his agenda, his will, his purpose, what will make him famous, not us. That's what God wants us to do. This is the way Jesus lived, right? We need to look at the example of Jesus, the Son of God, the one through whom and for whom all things were made. When he came to earth as a human being, what did he say? I have not come to do my will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. He lived, he said, not for his glory, but for the glory of God. That's what we are called to do, to imitate Christ, to do what he did. Not out of some sense of compulsion and duty and I have to, but because we've got a glimpse of God's mercy. We've got a glimpse of what he's done for us, of how he's saved us, of how much he loves us, and our response is to worship. Our response is to put him first. True worship is putting God first. It comes from the heart, and it's a response to God's love and mercy. Whether we want to believe it or not, every human being on this planet, whether they are religious or irreligious, whether they love God and know God or they are an atheist, everyone worships. Everybody does. There's a profound quote that I came across that I'm going to read for you from a novelist by the name of David Foster Wallace. This is what he says. Everybody worships. He's not a Christian. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. Let these words sink in. And the compelling reason for maybe choosing some sort of God or spiritual type thing to worship is that pretty much anything else you worship will eat you alive. If you worship money and things, if they are where you tap real meaning in life, then you will never have enough. Never feel you have enough. Worship your body and beauty and sexual allure, and you'll always feel ugly. And when time and age start showing, you will die a million deaths before they finally grieve you. Worship power. You will end up feeling weak and afraid, and you will need ever more power over others to numb you to your own fear. Worship your intellect, being seen as smart. You will end up feeling stupid, a fraud, always on the verge of being found out. But the insidious thing about these forms of worship is they're unconscious. They are default settings. Isn't that profound? All of us worship something. All of us put something first. We can't help it. All of us prize something above everything else. It could be God or it could be something else. And this is why God calls us to worship him, to place nothing else before him, to worship and serve him only. I'm quoting scriptures for you, to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. See, God does not need our worship. We need to worship him. God doesn't need our worship. God is not insecure. He's not proud. He's not egotistical. He doesn't become more or think of himself more highly as a result of our worship. He is the only being in this universe that can be worshipped by us and be unchanged, that we can give our full heart and devotion to, and it doesn't move him, doesn't change him, doesn't increase him in any way. And if we withhold our worship, it doesn't diminish him, it doesn't make him less in any way. But if we withhold our worship and we give it to something else, it will diminish us. God is not seeking worship as an end in itself. He is seeking worshipers. He's seeking relationship with us. Timothy Keller says it this way: everyone has to live for something. And if that something is not God, then we are driven by that thing we live for, by overwork to achieve it, by inordinate fear if it's threatened, deep anger if it's being blocked, and inconsolable despair if it is lost. See, if we don't worship God, whatever we choose to worship ends up controlling us. It ends up determining everything about our lives. We become enslaved to it. That's where addiction comes from. God does not want us to worship Him and place Him first because He loves Himself. He wants us to worship Him and put Him first because He loves us. And He knows that it's best for us. See, because anything else we put our hope in, anything else we put our ultimate value in, will ultimately disappoint us, will let us down. That's what Timothy Keller was getting at. And this is why throughout Scripture, God warns His people, don't put anything else before me. Don't have any idols. You know, most of us in North America, in Canada, in Ontario, in Kitchener-Waterloo, in Bloomingdale, would never dream of fashioning an idol, a literal idol out of metal or wood or something, and then bowing down to it, right? That would be hard to imagine that anybody would, well, most people would think of doing that. But we still struggle with idolatry all the time. Romans 1 tells us that if we don't worship God, our Creator, we will end up worshiping created things. That's what we will end up doing. You know, in my own life, working out, I know it's hard to believe right now, but many moons ago, working out was something I put before God. Why? See, we have idols, we put things before God, not because of what they are necessarily, but because of what we think they will give us. And I thought that by working out, I would gain identity from my appearance and my strength. There was a time in my life where I put relationships, a girlfriend, marriage, ahead of God. Why did I do that? Because I thought that I could find acceptance and significance and self-worth in somebody else. There was a time when I put my money and career ahead of God. Why did I do that? Because I wanted security, and I wanted to feel valuable. I wanted status. What are you putting first? What is first in your life? Maybe it's, for you, it's finding significance by comparing yourself on social media to somebody else. Maybe it's imagining the next vacation or going to the movies or watching Netflix to escape from real life, to numb the pain. Maybe it's an addiction to pornography for the same reason. Maybe it's how many likes or follows you have on social media so that you can feel significance. But see, ultimately, only God can give us these things. Only He can give us the acceptance, the significance, the value that we long for, the security that we crave. They all come from God. And we need to give our hearts to Him in order to discover that. What are you worshiping today? In other words, what are you putting first? Because remember, everybody worships. Everybody puts something first. What are you living for, hoping in? What are you prizing above everything else? Maybe you're feeling convicted like I was as I prepared this message. I would encourage you, don't beat yourself up if you're realizing that something else has a higher place in your life than God, that your career does, that your bank account does, that something else does. The answer, if it's, some things are immoral, right? Some things are bad, they're sinful inherently, and we need to get them out of our lives. If that's what you're getting convicted about, get it out of your life. Get some help. Talk to somebody. Make yourself accountable. Pray with somebody. But some things that are not inherently good or evil, like the internet, you know, or Netflix, or your bank account, or a vacation, or a boyfriend, they're not inherently evil. They're amoral. There's no moral attributes to that thing. It's just that we've put it in the wrong place, right? We need to shuffle priorities. We need to change priorities. And if that's where you find yourself, don't be condemned about that. What we need to do is go back to who God is and what God has done for us. Because remember, worship comes from the heart, and it's a response to God's love and mercy. So what do we do if we find ourselves loving and serving and worshiping something more than God? We go back to the love and the mercy that God has shown us. We go back to 1 Peter 2 verse 9. And we rehearse what God has done for us. We go back to Colossians 1, Ephesians 1. We read it through. We meditate on it. And we ask God to give us a fresh revelation and understanding of his love and mercy. And as we do that, it begins to reorder our desires. And we begin to realize that everything else is lesser than who God is, and that he is the only one who can satisfy us, that he is the only one who is worthy of being first. Would you stand with me? As Pastor Brian and Rebecca were sharing earlier, we're going to have 10 days of fasting and prayer. Well done. Well done. One of the great things about fasting and prayer is that it reorients our desires. This is a way I would encourage you to think about it. It's a way that we declare, not just with our words, but with our whole lives, right? Because it changes the way we live for that period of time. It reorients us and it reminds us God is first. I enjoy food, but God is first. I enjoy Starbucks, but God is first. I enjoy fill in the blank, but God, you're first. Not because those things are evil, but because my heart needs to be reminded of who is worthy. Who is worthy of my affection? Who is worthy of everything I am? Because desires drift, right? Have you experienced that? I have. Desires drift. Over time, things begin to crowd in on who God is and what he's done for us and my affection for him. And so I would encourage you to pray and ask God, God, what is it that maybe what is first in my life? And if the response that God gives you or that you already know in your heart is something other than God, choose to fast that thing. Find a way to fast that thing. That's between you and God. Again, this is not about beating ourselves up. This is not about proving anything. Please don't hear that. This is about teaching our hearts who is first. And fasting and prayer is a powerful way to do that. Would you pray with me? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we declare before heaven and earth, we declare to our own hearts that you alone are worthy. You alone deserve to be first. Everything else is secondary to you. Lord, we choose to set our hearts, our minds upon you. We choose to prize you above everything else. Lord, we ask you to show us if there's anything in our hearts that has taken your place. And give us wisdom and creativity and insight into how we can reorient the desires of our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit, by the power of your grace, in response to your love and mercy. Receive our worship, receive our whole lives this morning as worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. We want to encourage you to let the Holy Spirit sink today's message into your heart, to let it transform you and bring new life. If you want to learn more about Koinonia, you can go to kcf.life to get connected. Thank you for being a part of our community. If today's message encouraged you, we would love for you to rate it and review it and share it with a friend. We love you. Let's continue to build God's kingdom together.